Steelers were one of five undefeated teams coming into this weekend, and Mark Caboli was poo-pooing it. Mark Caboli was a Debbie Downer, a negative Nancy, looking at it glass half empty. How's he viewing things now after the Steelers' first loss of the season? He's brought to us by Bet365 and the injury lawyers of LGKG, Western PA injury lawyers for over 90 years, LGKG.com. We'll get his thoughts on the game, obviously, but Mark, you said you booked a hotel for the wrong weekend. Yeah. Did you wind up sleeping on Tone Diggs' couch? Did you sleep on Pat McAfee's pull-out sofa? What happened?
Well, I really appreciate you starting this off by calling me a Debbie Downer and a negative Nancy, then go into my faux pas, so to speak. I can't even remember. Dude, I'm on like 2 hours of sleep right now, so you have to bear with me here.
Every time he talks or types, that dwindles. Because you were texting me earlier, got 4 hours of sleep. On Twitter, 3 hours of sleep. Now it's two hours of sleep.
Of course.
You know, well, I'll put it this way. I got home at 3, got to bed about 3:30. The kid came over and said he threw up at 4:30. So I don't know if consecutive sleep here, but what was the question? Yes, I booked the wrong weekend. Very rookie mistake of me. There was some kind of big event there, so they were overbooked. I tried to the Holiday Inn Express or whatever. They were overbooked. I don't know. Then I finally got one. It was silence was deafening from the guys at the PMS show, baby. I don't think they wanted me sleeping on their couch.
Huh. Well, giving you a second lease on career life, I think, is probably good enough for them.
Yep.
Don't need to offer up the air mattress there. All right, Caboli, what's your number one takeaway from the game? We'll start wide and we'll narrow this bad boy down.
Wow. Number one takeaway is that offensive line stunk. They did not help anything out at all. I mean, I guess you could make an excuse for them. I mean, we're looking at guys with a combined 20 career starts if you take out Dan Moore with the four guys who was in there the majority of the game, but they did not play well. This whole team is predicated around moving people around offensively and defensively. So if I'm putting blame on somebody, offensive line would be number one, but defensive line would be a close number two. I mean, if you were preaching to us for years now with the Andy Weidel regime, so to speak, bringing it from Philly to be a team in the trenches that move people, you can't have performances like that against the Colts.
You know what, Mark? I've said all morning long that the way I feel about Fields now makes the loss not so bad because I think we got another data point here and we know that he can bring a team back. That being said, I thought the Steelers would lose the game. I never thought they would get dominated on both lines. I did not think it would look like that.
And especially that early. I mean, first two drives, 8 plays, 9 plays, 14-0 before the quarter's up, 17-0 right after that. But, you got to be careful of throwing that data points around with Justin Fields as well. He took another step, checked off another box. But he did have a chance to win it in the end there and did almost throw an interception and did fumble. So we have to keep it in perspective. And I think that's what Tomlin's doing right now. If you notice anything Tomlin was asked about Fields, is he never gives him credit for anything. And I think he's still a little bit skeptical, just like myself right now. But he's knocking that skepticism off everybody's lips here if he keep performing like he has.
So do you think or do you not think that Justin Fields gave this team the best chance to win the game? Like, was he the reason why that they were even close to winning this football game or not?
That's tough. We know it's not the offensive line. We know it wasn't the running backs. We know it wasn't the receivers. I guess the defense getting things. I think a part of it was, the Colts were just trying to play some vanilla defense here as well. But yeah, he probably gave them their best opportunity to come back right now. That's why we got to be a little bit careful. I mean, last week we thought they were going to go 20-0, right? Win the Super Bowl. And this week now we're crowning Justin Fields. Got to be a little bit careful with that because they were down 17-0 and they weren't really playing. It's still not a great Colts team. I'm not saying anything bad about Justin Fields. He did what he had to do, except two fumbles, I guess, or one and a half fumble. One shouldn't have counted, but I think he probably played as well as he could have under the circumstances.
So how do you feel about him then? You know, you say Tomlin's probably skeptical. What would you do?
I'm still a little skeptical, man.
Skeptical enough to pay Russ?
I'm skeptical that Fields is going to be able to continue this this path to getting better every single week. I mean, I just think eventually it's going to level off and we're going to see some negative, very negative stuff off the Fields. And that's going to be, I think, that next box you have to check off. If he has a bad game, how does he then respond in game to that? Because I don't think we've really seen much of that yet. But
hold up. Wait a second. He threw an interception last week, then leads two straight scoring drives, followed up by the run-the-clock-out drive. This week, he has the bad fumble, the 22-yard sack, and then has three consecutive touchdown drives. I think he has shown that.
Well, did they win yesterday?
No, but you don't think that showed a legitimate response?
Yeah, like directly towards Fields.
I mean, how many times has a Steelers quarterback since Ben led three consecutive touchdown drives?
I'm not going to say Kenny Pickett because the H2P people might come after me. Not you, Doran. I don't know the answer to that question. I'm saying he's getting better, but I still have that in the back of my mind of the three prior years you've seen him in Chicago. I mean, maybe that's just a me thing, but I'm not 100% sold on like some people are yet. I mean, he's their best option right now. I wouldn't move him. I wouldn't take him out of the lineup for any reason right now. But if you put together, you know, there was times yesterday during that game you were thinking, okay, is this it? I mean, this is Justin Fields' last hurrah. Were they going to Russell now? I mean, admit it, Crowley. You were thinking that at times.
No, I gave him a mulligan before the game. I gave him a mulligan before the game. He was 3-0. I want to keep doing this Fields thing, but you had a question, Norton?
So people just destroy me. Is there a part of you, Mark, that expects tomorrow during the Mike Tomlin press conference that he might say that Russell Wilson is healthy and it could be him?
No. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that, especially coming off of a loss like that and putting pressure on him, probably what he deems unnecessary pressure for a Sunday night audience. There's absolutely no way. I wouldn't think that Tomlin would come out and do it. I honestly think you're going to have to look, you know, weeks and weeks down the field where it becomes impossible to keep saying Russell Wilson is injured before he has to make a decision.
Mark Caboli joining us here on 93.7 The Fan on The Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. So Deshaun Elliott comes out after the game and says they need to focus in practice. Did you notice anything in what you were able to view from practice this week that might have told you this was coming, Mark?
Not really. I mean, they want to focus, maybe turn down the music a little bit, right? I like the old school days of Big Ben shutting off the music. I mean, I don't know how they can glean anything off of practice. Those 2 hours are out there. I mean, there's so limited reps that some of these guys get. I mean, if you're looking at a defensive first-team reps against first-team reps, if you're looking at a dozen, you're lucky. So I don't know how you can determine you have a lack of focus because of that. Maybe lack of focus in the meeting rooms, maybe somewhere else, but I don't think on the field. But obviously, he must have thought something if he's saying it. I mean, Deshaun Elliott's a guy who's not going to hold back with his thoughts or his emotions. So if he felt that way, there's probably something real. But me, from just a bystander, I mean, it's impossible to tell.
Mark, you stated earlier that the D-line got pushed around, and that's what we've been talking about majority of the show, of the D-line just not being physical and getting taken advantage of. When you watched the defense yesterday outside of the defensive line, what do you think the issue was, or who do you think the issue was, the reason why the defense just didn't show up?
Well, I don't think the two inside guys played particularly well either. I mean, I didn't look at the snap counts, but I don't think Alandon Roberts was out there very much at all. So you're looking at the rookie Peyton Wilson and Patrick Queen. I mean, one thing I noticed, I don't know if you guys noticed this too, there was a lot of moaning and complaining between players, like, hey, what are you doing? And I saw at least four different times on my – and then one of them was from Queen. So maybe if you – number one is the defensive line. They can't allow that to happen, especially with a center that – you know, I don't even know if he ever played before. I mean, he thought with Ryan Kelly out that Benton was going to dominate. That didn't happen. But if you're going to take that out of the equation, I would have to say the two inside guys are going to have to – the tackling was terrible, too, for the first time all year, too. And you have to believe that that has something to do with the inside guys as well.
How about Tomlin giving Joe Flacco the respect of a 2011 Joe Flacco? You can't have the backup quarterback go in the game and be as flummoxed by him as they were. And the way that Tomlin talked about him after the game drives me up a wall, Mark. Well, he's a veteran. You can't blitz that guy. He'll dice you up. I'm wondering what he thought he did when they didn't blitz him, because I saw a dicing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was watching the playoff game last year or the run that he had with Cleveland last year and was thinking that that applied there. I mean, he is an above-average backup quarterback. I mean, we can't deny that, and they're two totally different styles, which is interesting because normally you want your backup to emulate your starter style. This is total opposite, but I would have blitzed him. I would have tried to make him – move out of the pocket as well. It almost like he did give him a little bit, you know, like you said, the Super Bowl franchise quarterback, Joe Flacco. Okay, he's good. But, you know, but on the flip side of that, that game was pretty much in hand, what, 14-17, nothing before he even got in there as well. So I don't know. I don't think that's the reason why they lost. If you're looking at the reason why they lost, it was those first two drives when Richardson was hitting some big throws too.
Penalties bad. Najee Harris, no good. Still a ton to talk to Mark Caboli about, and we will continue to do so when we come back. You can tweet us. You got a question for Mark, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Akersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Man, I was just watching a Fields cut-up, Doran, from the game yesterday, and a lot more good than bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot more good than bad. And the thing that strikes me upon this rewatch, the number of times he's subtly moving in the pocket, thinks about running, and then a couple of times adjusts an arm angle or squares his shoulders, and he's looking to throw the ball down the field. You know, I know even I tweeted, we saw some of the Chicago Justin Fields in the game. But I think the Chicago Justin Fields runs probably four or five more times.
Didn't he flip one to Najee?
Yes.
Was it Najee? Yeah.
He also had one, the one where it looked like he was just an inch away from having an illegal forward pass that he fires one down the field right on the money. The accuracy from Justin Fields has been super impressive through four games. And I just want to clear something up. Mark Caboli here with us on the Fan Morning Show. The Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Mark, you said that you thought that Tomlin would still be skeptical about Fields, but you also said you think it's going to be a few weeks before he allows for Russ to be healthy. So is it because you don't think Russ is healthy or what?
I think Russ is healthy enough to play if it came down to it, but he's not 100% Russ right now. So why make that decision right now when – you know, you might have to go back on your own word in a week or two. So he's just going to let it play out. Plus, it's working. I mean, for the most part, it's working. So why would he change it? But I think if the next two or three weeks pan out how he keeps progressing, Russell Wilson with that calf injury, and he gets better, you have to make a decision. I mean, you owe it to Justin Fields at that point, even though he doesn't care, to put him at QB1. I mean, at that time, he'd be potentially two months into the season. I think he earned the spot to be the quarterback one right now. But right now, I think he's just going to hold off until he's absolutely has to make the decision. And right now, he does not have to make that decision.
Mark, to shift gears just a little bit real quick, why does it look different whenever there's another running back in the game and they run the football compared to Najee? Like, why did it look different whenever Cordell Patterson was in there compared to Najee? Why has it looked different a lot of times in the past 2 years whenever Jaylen Warren's in there compared to Najee? Is Najee injured, or is it just he doesn't have the same burst as other running backs do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's ever had the burst that some of the other running backs has had. I mean, all even back to his college days, I mean, that's – you look at his long runs, and they're 20 and 30 yards and not 50 and 60 yards. So I'm sure that gets broken down into how he approaches – how he can get through the line of scrimmage where he can pick the holes and stuff like that. I mean, I thought you were going to bring up the old Zaire Alexander tweet.
Yeah, the linebacker for the Colts, just for the context here, who tweeted out that 84 runs harder and that Najee Harris is soft.
Well, he did that because Najee was flipping off the entire crowd, so Twitter doesn't miss anything. I don't know. You know, I think Najee was running hard all through training camp, most of the time through the regular season, but I think he's very frustrated with all these eight-man boxes, and he does not hesitate to tell you, hey, you see what I'm going against here? You see what I'm going against here? He said it after the Denver game. He said it after last week against the Chargers. He said it again yesterday, that he's just feeling that teams are just out to stop him, and it's obviously affecting his numbers, which in turn affects his pocketbook. So, I mean, we've been looking at George Pickens as when's he going to blow up. It might be we have to look at Najee and
definitely a lot of that after the game from Najee Harris. And, hey, man, if you're the guy who wants your fifth-year option to have gotten picked up, if you're the guy who thinks you're the bell cow, then, yeah, they're going to try to stop you. And you got to make it happen regardless of what they're doing against you. I think a lot of it is the offensive line, but that doesn't explain for Cordero Patterson going off. He's running behind the same offensive line. If Jaylen Warren were healthy, this is not a guy you're financially tied to in Najee Harris. Mm-hmm. If Jaylen Warren comes back, and when he comes back and is 100%, I'm leaning more on Jaylen Warren than Najee Harris. Because even the previous three games, it's been a war of attrition, and they've worn the teams down. But statistically, in the eye test, tell you, he doesn't have that pop, man.
Maybe we should be looking at the scheme and how they use their personnel as well. This is the first year they're using Najee, or after the past couple of years of using him more than that 50-50. They're using him probably 80% of the time. Maybe he's not an 80% of the time running back. Maybe he is a 50-50, 60-40 guy, and that's when he does his best ball. So I don't think Jaylen Warren going to be back anytime soon. I'd be stunned if he comes back this week. And even if he does, he's probably not going to get a lot of reps. So it's going to have to be Najee. You know, he's going to have to step up. You're not going to rely on Aaron Shampkin or whoever else is there. He's going to have to take that bell cow role. And I just don't know if that's his best attribute right now.
Do you know how serious the injury to Patterson is? Like, will he be back?
No, all we heard is the ankle. I didn't see him in the locker room afterwards. Same with James Daniels, but that doesn't look pretty. So that whole offensive line is going to get messed up even more this coming week if Samalu can't go. So, yeah, I mean, they even lost Boston Scott. You remember him from – he spent a day here before he got hurt. So I don't know which direction you go other than Najee and – I guess Aaron Shampkin at this point, because with ankles, that's tough for those running backs. So I wouldn't expect either one of those guys, if they're back, to even be close to 100%.
That injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. So Justin Fields says that fumbled snap at the end of the game was his fault. And Zach Frazier said he got tapped. And then after the leg kick, he's supposed to snap it. Then you watch the video, and it looks like that's what happened. Regardless of whose fault it is, Mark, why does this continue to happen? And have you ever seen it this much in this few games?
No, I think wasn't it very similar in the Detroit preseason game?
Yes.
Very similar. Very similar play of the tap. I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult. I mean, you lift your foot. The guard sees it, taps the center. You do the one count, and then you snap the ball. I mean, if I'm putting blame on anybody, I'd probably go the most with Fields because he wasn't looking.
Right.
He needs to be anticipating that ball as soon as he lifts his legs up. So it was a little bit of everybody's fault, and it's just – it's difficult because you got the rookie guard, a rookie center, and a guy that's quarterback that hasn't been around, at least with this organization, for very long, in a very terrible situation. I mean, they convert that play. That doesn't happen. They could potentially win that
That's
game.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think they win the game if that snap doesn't happen?
Well, they at least go to overtime, I think.
Man.
I mean, you can't turn – what was it? Was it first and 10 and second and 22 or something like that? I mean, plus all of a sudden, instead of a midfield, you're back to the 35-yard line. Then the next play, who knows why Najee didn't get out of bounds. But it was just a lot of errors down the stretch. I don't know who you blame that on. Do you blame that on coaching? Or do you go even one step below that and say, hey, the quarterback has to be responsible for this because he got the biggest responsibilities of everybody right here. It's probably a little bit to do with everybody's fault right there. But I think they at least tie the game if that doesn't happen.
What do you make of Tomlin keeping that timeout in his hip pocket, Mark?
That's fine. I mean, if you're going to convert right there and you're going to have the entire field open for you, that's probably what it was. I mean, if Najee doesn't run out of bounds, then it's probably, as he would say, a moot point. I don't know. Why can't anybody say moot point? It's always mute anymore. But, yeah, I have no problem. It leaves the field entirely open. And if you need to, you can call the timeout and set up the kicker. So, I mean, hindsight's always 20-20 and say Tomlin time management, but I didn't have a problem with it.
All right, one more. Should they have kicked a field goal on their first drive, 59-yarder?
That's a tough one. That's a
hit a 57-yarder in Atlanta, Mark.
I know, but at that point
– with room to spare.
I mean, once again, hindsight, I would have kicked it, right, because it's a three-point game. But do you want to give them the ball at midfield if you miss it in that situation early in the game? I guess it was early-ish in the game. I don't know. It was a couple yards quick. I think didn't Fields take a sack or have a bad play right? Not
no. It was the stupid penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the penalty? So mm-hmm. That's what caused the whole thing in the first place.
See, but
the
here,
penalty doesn't happen, then you have a chance to kick it there easily.
Well, yeah, no doubt. It's an easier field goal, but I don't buy the whole you don't want to set him up in bad field position thing, because the next drive it's fourth and one at your own 39 and you go for it.
Yes.
So yeah. You might as well kick the field goal. Live it in his fears, Mike Tomlin. Inconsistent. Mark, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate it. Next week I should be around. I mean, at least I'm not on the road. It might be 3 a.m. again, but you don't care.
Get some sleep.
Goodbye.
I will. Thank you.
Mark Caboli, formerly of The Athletic, now of Pat McAfee, and our Steelers insider on 93.7 The Fan. Still a lot more to get into when we come back. I wanted to ask Mark about the penalties, but I don't know that anybody thinks that they were the right calls, especially that Minkah Fitzpatrick hit. We want to hear from you, though. 412-928-9370. How are you feeling about the Steelers sitting here at 3-1? When you woke up today, were you more encouraged by Fields' performance or upset by the fact that the Steelers lost the game? 412-928-9370.
Again, I appreciate his fight, but he and we were a little bit sloppy at times, too sloppy to comfortably secure victory.
So that's Mike Tomlin talking about Justin Fields, who threw for 300 yards, rushed for 50, accounted for 3 touchdowns. Sloppy. Mike Tomlin also talked about turnovers in his opening soliloquy, blaming the turnovers for the reason they lost the game, not the 17-0 deficit, which for me was the biggest reason they lost the game. But the question to you at 412-928-9370, does the emergence of that version of Justin Fields make the loss more palatable yesterday? 412-928-9370. Our Twitter poll, who would you start against the Cowboys? 80%, Doran, of folks say Justin Fields. And we've got 1,000 votes at this point, which is a high number for this point in the show.
Uh-huh.
So I think most people were really enamored with Justin Fields' performance yesterday, as they should have been. I don't know that Mike Tomlin's among those people, though. And Caboli says he thinks that that Tomlin's still skeptical of Fields.
I just refer to the postgame. And Tomlin not giving him a ringing endorsement to what he did was give his team a chance to come back and try to win that football game and putting it really on his shoulders. I mean, rushing for 2 touchdowns, throwing for a touchdown, and the rush in the times in the passes that the precision of the passes, the times he was doing certain things. And then you hear Tomlin after the game, it was like basically like it wasn't good enough. wasn't good enough. So at this point, me, what I'm feeling is Tomlin still wants Russ to be the starting quarterback.
I think at least he wants to see it.
He wants to see it, and I think he believes in more. He believes in more of Russ's process than Justin. Right now, he feels that Russ fits the identity of Mike himself, Mike Tomlin, than Justin Fields does right now.
What's nuts is he blames the turnovers, and to that point, he would probably think that Russ isn't going to turn it over as much. If Russ Wilson's down 17-0, does he bring the team back?
I don't know.
I don't know, but there's...
Doesn't with his legs.
Definitely not. And I'll tell you this, with or without Russell Wilson, they're down 17-0 in this football game. They're down 17-0.
Yes.
He would not have changed that. Like, there's the penalty that was taken on the first drive. You pass up points there. Would have been a 59 long field goal. I think the start's the same. And if the start's the same, the outcome's probably the same. No matter whether Justin Fields turns it over once or not. Also, George Pickens had the biggest turnover of the football game because that one takes points directly off the board. 412-928-9370. John in the car, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I just want to tell you this. Our defense got too relaxed. It was just too relaxed because I did not see the intensity for the first three games that we won. They kind of underestimated the Colts. They figured we'll come in there, get the easy win, call it a day. But, you know, my question to you guys is how fast did they score them two touchdowns in that first quarter? And thank God that they didn't score 21 going into the halftime because, you know, it seemed like to me nobody didn't know what they was doing out there, you know, on that defense. You know what I mean? T.J. Watt's getting double-teamed, Highsmith. Where's the linebackers? What was going on?
Highsmith didn't play. Thank you for the call, John. We really appreciate it, and thank you so much for listening to the show. There were 2 minutes and 34 seconds left in the first quarter when the Colts took the 14-0 lead, just to answer your first question there. Doran, why does a team come out like that?
Overlook.
Yeah.
Overlook. So confident and comfortable with what you're doing that it's almost a false kind of reality. And you think that you're going to go in there because you did it the first 3 weeks. You think you're going to go in there and do the same thing. And the game plan of stopping, and then you watch Anthony Richardson. If you're the defense, you're watching all week. And you're like, this guy will throw it into harm's way. All we have to do is rattle him a little bit, and he'll turn the ball over. And you saw a different version of that, at least for the first two drives of Anthony Richardson. And you're kind of stunned. You're like, oh, man, this isn't the guy that we saw him film. Oh, man, this isn't, you know, Jonathan Taylor's pretty good, but, you know, we could figure out how to stop the run. We stopped the run against Bijan Robinson. We stopped the run against J.K. Dobbins. We could do that against Jonathan Taylor. No, man, that's not the guy that we saw. And then you start arguing. And you're like, well, you're supposed to be here. No, I'm supposed to be there, but you're supposed to be here. And then everything's out of whack. And then a veteran quarterback comes in that knows exactly what he wants to do with the football. And your head coach is very familiar. You guys, you're not familiar with them, but your head coach is very familiar with them. And you're probably expecting the head coach to make some type of adjustment of being a defensive head coach of playing against this guy. So now you're in a position where you're thinking you're facing an athletic quarterback and your defense is prone to face that guy, but you're not facing that guy. You're facing a whole different type of quarterback and you're expecting to adjust to it and nobody was on the same page.
That's what kills me about the defense is, A, T.J. Watt, I mean, he had as much to do with winning that ball game as Mark Caboli did, as Andrew Filippone, who was there in a press box, did. Like, T.J. Watt, nowhere to be found. But, okay, so Flacco comes in, and he is going to be able to exploit miscommunication more than Anthony Richardson would. But Minkah Fitzpatrick is one of the best safeties in football. Deshaun Elliott is a veteran. Patrick Queen, you paid a lot of money. He's a veteran in the middle of the field. Joey Porter Jr. is in year number two playing in the same defense. What I'm saying is that's a lot of veteran guys back there. It's okay for me. It's not my favorite, but I can. It's okay. I'm okay with it when the other team makes plays.
Mm-hmm.
There's no defense for the perfect throw. But when two of the touchdowns, there's like no one on the screen, and then you got linebackers yelling at safeties, yelling at corners after the play. That can't happen with a veteran defense.
No.
You have to make them earn it. Didn't make them freaking earn it. That's what kills me. Not to mention, they got pushed around on both lines up front. We knew there'd be growing pains with a young offensive line, and then you lose your right guard. That's not going to look good. But for the defensive front, which was ranked the best defensive front in football by like every outlet coming into this week, gets pushed around. That can't happen. They get pushed around in the back end, can't communicate. It's a recipe to give up 27 points
yep.
to Joe damn Flacco.
Yep.
Social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. That is next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. How about some social media biggest loser-ness? This one directed at Alex Kozora, who pulled some really good stats that we used early on in the show. Credit him and Steelers Depot. Good thing they drafted Joey Porter Jr. instead of an offensive line. Porter Jr. is a bust. Steelers have famously not had any offensive lineman walk through those doors in Omar Khan's tenure.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not Troy Faltanu uh-uh. or Zach Frazier uh-uh. or Broderick Jones. Uh-uh. Spencer Anderson, Mason McCormick, none of those guys. Joey Porter Jr. did play poorly yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good player.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
That's the thing. We called him out, called TJ Watt out.
Yep.
I think the defense will be fine. I do. But it doesn't excuse what happened yesterday, but I think the defense will be okay. It has to be. And I think it'll be better this week. Quickly, Dorn, the line is now out on Sunday's Steelers-Cowboys game. Want to take a guess, or you just want me to tell you?
Steelers.
You're going to nail it. You're going to nail it. He's going
to
nail
it. 2.5.
Two, yeah. Steelers favored by 2.
Yep.
No Lawrence, probably for the Cowboys. No Micah Parsons for the Cowboys. You should win the football game. They can't run the ball. They, up until last week, couldn't stop the run. Mike Tomlin will have losses like he just did a couple times, maybe even a season. He also has bounce-back wins. And this is a primetime game against a brand at Acrisure Stadium. Steelers winning the game. I'm telling you right now on a Monday they're winning the game. Also, seeing video of George Pickens freaking out on the sideline at Justin Fields. And I'm sure people are going to make a mountain out of a molehill there. I'm not freaking out yet. Your eyes are telling me a different story, though.
I didn't see that.
He is, one of the offensive linemen's kind of holding him back. And he's pacing on the sideline. I'm trying to see who the lineman is. I can't get a good view. This is someone took it from the stands. So the lineman trying to hold him back. He's pacing. Him and Justin Fields go 1-1. And then Pickens is kind of throwing his arms up. He got the Italian thing going. He's talking with his hands. Mm-hmm. And then they separate a little bit. I hope he's mostly frustrated at himself. Because that fumble, if I'm boiling the game down to one point, there are many different reasons why they lost the game. That fumble just can't happen.
No.
Can't happen.
It's interesting.
I don't know what he's bitching about then, though. I mean, he was by far the most targeted player on the team with 11 targets.
I don't think he's bitching about, you know, getting the ball or anything. I don't know what it could be, and I would love to know the moment of the game, like when it was.
Or that's was what after. I was looking for, too, yeah.
Like the clock or whatever, where it was at. I can't see Pickens at a point right now with what he did yesterday bitching about not getting the ball.
Yeah, unless it was someone who maybe said something to him about fumbling the ball, but at which point, take your medicine. You done screwed up, so you got to own it. That's the way that goes. I'm not freaking out. I'm not freaking out at 3-1. Steelers still first place in the AFC North. It doesn't excuse the performance from yesterday. It doesn't. But I think they bounce back against the Dallas Cowboys. I am more encouraged by what Justin Fields did than I am dissuaded. Dismayed? Dismayed. By what the result was of this football game.
I am exactly with you.
Tomorrow, big show.
Yep.
I want to get Trey Essex on tomorrow.
He'd be great.
He crushed Zach Frazier, but then also said Marquise Pouncey once snapped the ball over Ben Roethlisberger's head. Then he came back saying it wasn't Zach Frazier's fault. Trey Essex always has a bunch of great stuff on the Twitter.com after the game. So with Trey Essex, we got Jason Lockin for it tomorrow. Big show. And then Mike Tomlin's press conference at 10. Coming up next, Starkey. Good show, boys. Callis, excellent job. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 70, low 63, rain.